good evening. It's good to see you tonight. I hope you had a good week. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us. I pray that you would help us in these next few moments, Lord, to, as Mason prayed earlier, just to help us to listen. God, that you'd help us to make application where it would be necessary, where it would be appropriate. And we would thank you for that. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, last week, you may remember, we got back into our study of Paul's letter to Timothy. I started to say to the believers of Timothy, but just to Timothy as he pastored the church there in Ephesus. And in doing so, we have noticed in the last couple of messages that the information is very practical. The information is just what a young man in the ministry would have needed. And so last week, we watched as Paul reminded Timothy of his need to give honor and respect to the elders in the church, those who, Paul said, rule well, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And so what I talked about last week is it seems like the reason, or one of the reasons, that Paul may have given that admonition to Timothy was this, is that in his youth, it would have been easy for Timothy to take the elders for granted there in the church. And I talked about last week how it's still something that we're capable of doing, taking people for granted in our lives, especially those who make up the church. And we don't want to do that because one day what will happen is we'll wake up and we'll realize those people are gone, and we'll then realize the hole that they left. We need to value, we need to respect, we need to reverence those in our church who are exemplary in their manner of life. And then the other thing that I tried to finish with last week was this, is we should ask God to help us to be those kinds of people in this church. Not to just look at others and say, oh, well, I respect them and, oh, I appreciate them, but we should look at our own lives and say, God, that's the kind of person I want to be in this church. I want to be the one that has value, that has purpose to being a part of this and not just depending on someone else. So that's what we talked about. Tonight, we're going to move on. It's going to remain very practical tonight, okay? And this may not be the most exciting of sermons, but if it's practical, then it's helpful, right? And if it's helpful, then it's needed. So no apologies for it. I'm just telling you up front, this may not be a wow kind of a sermon, but that's completely fine. So all that said, all that in mind, let's start with a thought that I know that all of us will understand, and I think all of us would agree to. I want us to think tonight about this truth that every one of us have certain tendencies that just come natural to us. Every one of us have certain tendencies that just come natural to us. Now, I said you would agree with it, but you may not know what it is I'm talking about, so let me illustrate it in just a couple of ways. How many of us have known people who it's just kind of a natural tendency for them to wake up early? You ever known people like that? You talk to them and you say, what time did you get up this morning? And they say, oh, just my internal clock got me up at the same time as always. I was up at 5 o'clock, ready to go. That's a natural tendency. Somebody else, though, may say something like this. My natural tendency is not to wake up at 5. My natural tendency is to wake up somewhere around 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock, something of that nature. If I've got to wake up early, I better set an alarm. Because that is how some people operate, right? Okay, so some people, they just naturally tend to wake up early. Some people just naturally tend to sleep in late. Somebody may explain it like this. Some people are just naturally expressive in how they show their emotions, right? That is their tendency. They are very expressive with their emotions. So if they're excited, you're going to know they're excited. If they're upset, you're going to know they're upset. If they're mad about something, you'll know they're mad. That's just their tendency. That's just how they naturally respond. And someone else, you may not quite ever know for sure what their emotion is. because they simply don't express themselves. Are they mad? I don't think so. Are they glad? I'm not sure. Are they upset? Who knows? Because it's just that deadpan look the entire time. The expression never changes. Some people naturally talk too much, or not too much, but maybe a lot. And others don't talk very much, just their natural tendency. Now, with every natural tendency that a person has, I want us to think about this. It can be good, but it can also be bad. Just because it is a natural tendency does not make it bad, but it does not make it good. See, for the person who says, well, I just wake up early, well, you may need to get some more rest. The person who says, well, I just sleep in late, well, you might need to wake up earlier. For the person who says, I'm just so expressive, well, you might need to tone it down a little bit. The one who says, well, I'm not very expressive, well, you need to work on that so that other people know you're not mad all the time. Somebody says, well, I just talk a lot. Well, sometimes you need to shut up. And the person who says, well, I just don't like to talk. Well, sometimes you need to open up and let people know that you're not stuck up in a snob. See what I'm saying? Just because it's natural, just because it's our tendency, it doesn't make it wrong, but it doesn't make it right. And where it's not right, what needs to happen? It needs to be addressed and it needs to be changed. Now, dealing with that principle, let me remind us of just a couple of things. Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus, correct?
Yes.
All right. Timothy, as the pastor in the church, I just want to remind us of this. He was a fallen individual just like everyone else. Okay, Timothy was not unique. Timothy was not special. He did not have some supernatural holiness about him. No, Timothy had issues and hang-ups like anyone else. And the people that he pastored there in Ephesus, guess what they were? They were fallen individuals just like everyone else. My point is this was not a perfect church, and it was not being led by a perfect person. So you've got an imperfect church being led by an imperfect person. Here is the Apostle Paul, and it's not that he is perfect in himself, but he did have the divine leadership to give Timothy this advice. So I want us to see what Paul said as he continues this very practical instruction. I want us to see what Paul said in verse number 19 to this young preacher, Timothy. He said, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." So against an elder, Paul says to him, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now think about the picture that's being drawn here in our minds. We've got Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, and Paul's been in the ministry longer than Timothy has been, and so Paul knows how things can work when you're dealing with people, and so Paul seems to be mindful of this possibility that there could be occasions where someone could come to Timothy with some kind of an accusation against someone else in the church. What would that accusation consist of? Well, it could obviously consist of anything. Hey, Timothy, did you hear about brother so-and-so and what he did? Hey, brother Timothy, did you hear what brother so-and-so said or what this individual said, what this person may have done, what this family may have engaged in? Any kind of accusation could have come to Timothy by way of someone in the church. And here is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, when an accusation against an elder comes your way, he said, here is what you do not do. You do not receive the accusation. What does it mean to receive? It just means to accept it. All right, so the picture again that's being drawn here is here is Timothy in whatever setting it may have taken place, in whatever setting it may have happened. Here is Timothy, and someone comes to him and says, "Hey, Timothy, I need to visit with you for just a minute. I just need to talk to you for a few minutes. It's something that I think you probably need to know. It's something that you probably need to be aware of. I just want you to know that brother so-and-so said this." Now, here is what Paul said to do. Dismiss it. Just say, "Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information. I appreciate the news. Thank you. Have a good day." Paul said to Timothy, you don't receive it unless there are multiple accusations brought against the same person in relation to the same issue. You don't take it and run with it just because someone said something to you. Now, as we think about that, the application is fairly simple, is it not?
Sure.
It is for me anyways, because here is what I need to be reminded of. Hey, Kyle, just because you hear something doesn't mean you need to put a lot of stock in it. All right, somebody says, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so?" "I hadn't heard that." "Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, that's what they said." Did you hear what their family did? Did you hear what they were engaged in? Did you hear about this?" "No, I hadn't heard." And you know what my response needs to be? "Hadn't heard, but thank you very much. I really do appreciate it." Now, why would Paul tell Timothy to not retain it or to receive it? I think Paul knew that a natural tendency of some people is to believe whatever they hear about someone else without knowing whether or not it's fact. At least that's how it was 2,000 years ago. You know, the tendency of Timothy may have been somebody comes to him and says, "Hey, did you hear?" And all of a sudden, Timothy is worked up. All of a sudden, Timothy is upset. All of a sudden, Timothy is bothered by it. Why? Because the person who's had the accusation brought against them, not in their presence, of course, but the one who has had that accusation, well, it's certainly believable of this person. So I can certainly see how it would be true that what this person is saying about the other person, I can certainly see how it would be true. And what Paul is saying is, listen, just because the accusation's been made does not mean you need to receive it and accept it as fact. Okay, so that was a tendency that Timothy could have wrestled with and struggled with. I know it is something that I have wrestled with in the past. So let me ask you to be honest about yourself. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you believe things about people of a negative fashion that you have no verification for? It happens, doesn't it? Because think about this. Many times the people who have come to us about the behavior of certain people, obviously, we already know them many times to some extent, and it goes back to what I've already said. It's believable of this person. Oh, I could believe that they said that. Oh, I could believe that they've done that. Oh, I could believe that their family's involved in that. And so somebody tells us something, and after all, it's a very reliable source. I mean, this is one of my best friends, and my best friend heard it from one of their best friends who is absolutely a reliable source. And so pretty soon, we've heard what this person has said to this person who's made it to us, and all of a sudden, it's gospel in our minds. Yep, so-and-so's done this, and they're guilty of it. Yep, they've done it. What have we done? We have just received an accusation against someone with no proof. Think about all the ways in which this can happen. You ever heard some scuttlebutt on a coworker?
Oh, yeah.
And you just believed it. Because you know them and you've got a past with them and they've got a reputation. It's got to be true. How many times does this happen in our own families? You know, this person in our family, well, I wasn't there. I'll admit I was not there. But so-and-so told me that they heard about it from the one who was there, and I know that they wouldn't make that up. So it's got to be true. Or it happens in a church family. I'm just saying, sometimes our tendency is to take an accusation that we've not verified and to take it a step further, we're not even worried about verifying it. We're just taking it at face value and running with it and repeating it whenever we feel the liberty to repeat it. Listen, as Paul would say to me as a pastor, don't do that, you dummy. You know what he'd say to all of us with that same principle? Don't receive the accusation unless there are multiple outlets or multiple people saying the exact same thing with some measure of credibility to them. Right. I mean, think about how many times we're guilty of repeating what we've read on the internet. Well, I read. Well, that pretty much settles it then, right? Because we read it and our buddy read the same article, so between the two of us, we know it's fact. It's just, it's not. Think about the amount of damage that can be done if we believe something that may not be true about someone else. You know, we wouldn't want other people to believe everything they've heard about us. Amen. Maybe you're okay with that. I'm not. I'm just saying a tendency of ours can be to accept it because we've already got that relationship. It seems believable. So yeah, it's probably fact. It's not the way to do it. Now consider that thought from the flip side of it though. How many of us have ever heard things about people and because we like the person whom the accusation is being brought against, we just immediately dismissed it? Sure. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say that. Huh, you're crazy. Their family would never do such a thing. I'm trying to show us this. I'm trying to remind us of this, that we cannot just jump to conclusions based on what might be our tendency. So if we've got this tendency to just jump to conclusions of believing whatever it is we've heard, or maybe from the flip side of dismissing it because we don't want to believe it, that is something that has to be addressed. It is something that has to be worked on. But as this principle is given in verse number 19, the thoughts continue in the next couple of verses. Again, very practical, very relevant to someone like myself, but also to you by way of principle. Here is what Paul allows for, is that sometimes the accusations against the elder is actually true. It's verified. And so sometimes this person comes forward and Timothy would say, does anybody else know about this? Has anybody else heard this kind of thing? And the person may say, I'm just telling you, I know a couple of other people are aware of this. And so sometimes the accusations would have been true or at least worthy of follow-up on. So notice what he said in verse number 20. He said, them, that being a reference to the elders, he said, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. What does it mean to rebuke? Well, it's the idea of correcting and chastising. Right. So you've got an elder in the church. You've got some prominent individual in the church, and an accusation has been brought. Timothy is told, hey, listen, just file that away and don't even think anything of it unless multiple accusations start coming in. But if they do and you find out that this to be the case and this is true, that this person has actually done whatever the accusation is, then Paul said, here is what you have got to do. You have got to rebuke them in front of all. In front of who? In front of all the church family. For what reason? That others also may fear. Somebody says, well, what's the point behind that? Or what's the thought behind that? Okay, what Paul is saying to Timothy is this, is listen, whenever this is some kind of a sin that would bring reproach upon the church, that would bring reproach upon the name of Christ, he's saying, here's what you want to do, is you have got to deal with this in front of the church body, in front of the church family, so that everyone in the church knows we take sin serious around here. Why would Paul need to tell Timothy to rebuke in front of everyone? Well, what's a tendency sometimes in a moment like that? Well, a tendency could be this. Let's just sweep that one under the rug and hope it goes away. That one's going to get a little bit dicey if I deal with that one. That's going to get a little sticky if I have to address that. So I tell you what, here's what we'll do. We'll just kind of acknowledge it. Okay, I know it happened. I'm going to talk to the person and say, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And we're just going to kind of hope that one goes away. Paul said, no, Timothy. The purity of the church is important and it has to be addressed. Again, what's the reminder to a pastor? The reminder to a pastor is this, is your tendency to let things go is not the right tendency. You can't look at a situation and go, oh man, that's going to upset so-and-so. And oh man, I forgot their family and they're related to this person. And if I get this person, then this person's going to be upset. I can't afford to do that as a pastor. If there is sin that has to be addressed and it's of a nature that it has to be brought before the church, then it has to happen no matter what the fallout may be. It just has to happen. Now again, what's the principle in that? Well, the principle for you, since you're not in the position of a pastor, is this, is sometimes, and you know this, sometimes you have to address things that you don't want to address. Because if you don't address them, it's only going to fester and make problems worse in whatever the situation is. I think most of you can put these dots together and connect them without me saying all this, but let me just remind us. Sometimes at work, you have to take the bull by the horns. And you know it's going to upset this person, and you know this person's going to get mad, and you know that this person's going to talk to this person, and there could be some fallout from it. But listen, if somebody has done something wrong, it's got to be addressed, or it's just going to cause more problems for you. How about in a family situation? This person has done something wrong. This person has done something that has been an offense to many in the family or to everyone in the family. You can't look at that and say, well, I really don't want to upset the family and I really don't want to disrupt things. No, there is a time where it has to be confronted. It has to be dealt with. I said this wasn't going to be exciting, just practical, but it's true, is it not? Sometimes you have to be willing to just confront it and expose it and make it known because that's the only way that real resolution can be found. So the tendency at work or the tendency in the family or the tendency someplace else may be, I'll just sweep it under the rug. Paul says to Timothy, no, you don't do that. Where there is sin, where it is known, where it has now been exposed and brought to light, this has to be dealt with publicly, no matter what, for the sake of others to fear, knowing that sin is taken seriously. But then in verse number 21, he said this, I charge thee, or I command thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another or preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Paul says to Timothy, son, you've got to do all of this, and you have to do it without preferring one another, and you have to do so without partiality. What does it mean to prefer one another or one over another? And what does it mean to have partiality? It means this: to show favoritism. Amen. To show favoritism. How many of us would have to admit that that can be a tendency sometimes in our lives? You think it didn't happen in a church setting from time to time? You know, here's Timothy and an accusation's been brought against someone. Oh, no, not Brother So-and-so. I love Brother So-and-so. Paul says, listen, when it comes to dealing with the issues of the church, you cannot have favorites. You can't look at this and say, well, it's them, so I'm going to try to protect them. Or it's them, I'm going to try to make sure that nobody, you know, finds out about that. I'm going to try to run interference for them and make sure that it doesn't hurt them or minimize what it could do to their reputation. No, Paul says we don't do this with any kind of measure, with any kind of partiality or preferring one another. There can be no favorites when you're dealing with sin in the church. Can I just tell you what the reminder is to me? And I'm thankful that we don't have to deal with this very often, but I'm just saying the reminder to me is this, is whenever it comes to an issue of disobedience, blatant disobedience to the Word of God, I'm not allowed to show favoritism. Y'all can agree with that, whether we like it or not. I'm not allowed to show favoritism. I can't say, well, I like this person more than I do this person. Well, I don't mind doing it to them. They're just a teenager, but I don't want to do it to them. Listen, you know this as well as I do. That's oftentimes how it works. We'll be hard on the kids. We'll be hard on the teenagers. We'll be hard on those that don't really, you know, cause too much fallout on the church. But over here, we're not going to address this or deal with this. I've seen that more times in the ministry than I care to admit, and it's simply wrong. It's wrong. We can't have favorites in the ministry. Well, you know this, again, as I've already said, we have a tendency sometimes to have our favorites. Maybe this has never happened to you, but have you ever watched certain people get by with certain things at work and you knew the only reason they got by with it is because they were the boss's favorite? Not exactly right, is it? Well, you know this as well as I do. If you're in that position of authority then, and it's you that needs to address things, at some point you've got to say it has nothing to do with my favorites. It just has to do with what is right and what is wrong, and that's how we're going to address this. But they're going to get mad at you. I know. They're going to remind you how long y'all have been friends. I know. They're going to remind you how long they've worked for the company. I know. That's not the point. The point is, it's not right what they've done, and we're not going to tolerate it. It happens at work. Again, you know this. I don't have to connect all the dots for us, but just think with me. How many times does this happen in a family? You know, I don't mind jumping the case of this family member, but oh, not Precious over here. Precious is fair-haired, and Precious is my favorite, and Precious over here, Precious means more to me. I'm not going to confront Precious because Precious might get mad, and Precious might get upset, and their spouse might get upset, and they may cut the kids off from us, or whatever it may be. Do you understand the principle is the same? It doesn't matter who it is. There comes a point if what they're doing is wrong, it has to be addressed. We can't make allowances just because we've got a certain level of emotional attachment to a person. If what they're doing is wrong, it's wrong. It's just the bottom line. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So here's Timothy, a young man, being told by Paul, hey, don't believe everything you hear, though that might be your tendency. Just want to remind us again tonight, if you've got a tendency anything like mine, we have to work at changing this. Don't believe it just because you heard it. Find out for yourself if what you've been told is true. Is that hard work? It is. Because I'd much rather just believe what I've heard and go on my way and accuse people of things. Don't believe what you've heard just because you heard it from a reliable source. But if it is true, and you're in a place to deal with it, be willing to confront it. Be willing to deal with it. It's going to make them upset. Probably not their first time to be upset. They can get upset again. Well, there might be fallout. And there might, but there might not be. But I really love this person. Well, if you really love them, then you'll love them enough to confront them. Amen. It's not easy. Right. It's not always our natural tendency, but it is something that needs to be done. Let's all stand this evening and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, we come to you this evening. Lord, as I've already said, I know this is just a practical thought. I know that this is just a pretty simple and pretty straightforward. And maybe right now, if we're not in the midst of a situation, it may be hard to even make some application. But maybe, just maybe, you've worked in our hearts to some extent tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've reminded us, yeah, I can be guilty of that sometimes. I can see where I jump to conclusions sometimes that I don't need to jump to. Or maybe I'm not willing to confront certain situations because I just don't like the fallout and I don't want to hurt people. Lord, whatever the help may be that we need tonight, I pray that it would be accomplished. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.